What an awesome song. Amen. And what a real prayer that would be if we'd pray that. And he sang that on Wednesday night. I told him I wanted to sing it the first Sunday of the new year. And Brad came by the office this morning and he said, I think I'm going to have it sing. I said, it'd be good this Sunday and next Sunday as well. Amen. I was talking to Brother Jimmy Johnson a while ago. We don't have a monthly theme for the coming year. But in this coming year, I have one thought and one challenge to all of us, and that's that song. But the way I expressed it, I have written a letter that we send out first of the year, try to send a lot of different preachers and a lot of different people. And in the letter, I said, our prayer is that we all will get closer to Him and more like Him in 2018. Closer to Him, more like Him. And so let's just pray that God do that for all of us. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Job. And Job comes just before the book of Psalms. You can't, if you find, open up, it falls to the book of Psalms, you can find Job pretty easy. Just go right back a little bit, you'll find the book of Job. Thank you, Brother Gary. And I encourage you to be a part of the Bible Institute. Let me say to our friends in the media audience as well, please contact us here at the church. And we'll get you in touch with Brother Gary or Brother Mitchell or someone and get you enrolled in the Bible Institute. And you'll enjoy it. It's on Tuesdays and starting January the 16th. And for first class, registration on the 9th. So I hope that you'll avail yourself to that. That'd be a good challenge for the coming year. And I hope it'll be a blessing. How many of you wonder where the time went in January, in last year? Did it seem like a quick year to you? I don't know how many people told me, where in the world did the year go? It seemed like everybody was just talking about how fast this year went by. Now, I know they tell me that the older you get, the quicker time goes by. But this is, I've had a lot of young people to say to me, man, this was a quick year. I mean, it was fast. I mean, it just seemed like it was gone, no time. We've had a lot of sadness, a lot of tragedy, a lot of heartache in our church family through the year. And but a lot of blessings as well. But all in all, it was a quick year. I mean, it was gone just like that. And so I've been dealing with giving through the whole month, greater giving. And I felt led of the Lord to share a little bit different line this morning, although it does involve in giving in an area. But I want you to look what Job said. Now, we think about Job. We think about him being a great spiritual giant. Job went through real battles. I mean, he lost his family, lost his occupation, lost all of his livelihood, lost his health, everything. And we talk about him and his great faith, which he exhibited that. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that, he said. I know that. He said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. He believed that. But yet, like every dear saint of God, you have highs and you have lows. There's days of victory and there's days of defeat. There's days of ecstasy and there are days of sadness. There are days of rejoicing and there are days of weeping. That's all part of your life. There'll be times of great health and times of sickness in this coming year. And we had that in the past year. That's true of everybody. But in this particular passage I'm going to read to you, Job is kind of in a low point. Notice what he said in the book of Job, chapter 7 and verse number 6. He said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Job has lost his family, everybody but his wife. He's lost all of his livestock. He lost his livelihood. He's lost his health. And he said, the days are flying by like a weaver's shuttle. And he said, without hope. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God help me now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, again for the wonderful singing. Thank you for Regina, God, Lord, for reminding us, Lord, of that great truth that you're ever faithful. You'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. You are faithful. You've always met our needs. You'll continue to do that. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Ricky and God, the song you put on his heart. And Lord, for the congregational singing this morning. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now, help me. Oh, God, I'm not worthy of your touch or your anointing. But God, you called me to preach. And I pray, God, that you'd purge my mind and heart. And I pray, God, that you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, these are your people, this great vast media audience, people, God, that you've prompted to listen. I pray, God, they'll get something to help them. I pray, God, that everybody in the building can be helped this morning. And I pray, God, if there's one lost in the building or in the media audience, Lord, I pray today they'd be saved. And God, I ask, Father, now for your power and your anointing. Lord, I confess to you, there's no good thing in me. And apart from your anointing, God, nothing of eternal consequence to take place. But God, I pray you'd speak, and I'll praise you, give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Now, I'm not sure in that day how it all worked. I have watched some of them at the state fair on some of the old weaving looms and how they would run the thing back and forth through there. Or if they have the, you know, the one that operates with the foot pedal, you know, and it pulls it all down, all those fingers and everything. Every time I look at that, I think about, wow, what in the days gone by when they had to, you know, cut the wool off the sheep they had to comb the wool out and they had to spin it by hand and then put it on those looms. And of course, they're like a gazillion pieces of thread on there if you've ever been up there and watched them. And they all do patterns. But then they have the shuttle that goes back and forth. I worked in a cotton mill my senior year of high school. And I never worked in the weave room. But my mother was a weaver. Regina's mother, I think, worked in the weave room. But some of you find in old antique stores, you'll find a shuttle. It's a piece of wood with two metal points on it, on either end. And those are old shuttles that came out of old-time looms that used to be in the textile mills. And I remember you'd go in there and it was so loud you couldn't hear yourself think. I mean, it was just blah, 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 blah. And you'd watch those shuttles, you could hardly see them as they went back and forth. That technology has changed a lot, weaving's changed a lot. But it used to, they had actual heavy wooden shuttles that would go back and forth and weave the loom even in my day. And I'm not as old as Billy Rees, but I'm getting on down the road. I remember some of those things. But at any rate, faster than a weaver's shuttle. You ever feel like time just flying by? Just flying by? Look, I found a couple other verses. Job again, turn over to chapter number 9 and look what he says. And he's kind of obsessed with this. Matter of fact, there's 3 or 4 places. I'm just going to share 2 of them with you. But in chapter 9, listen to what he says in verse number 25. He said, my days are swifter than a post. And I got, you know, I'm not very smart. I didn't think a post was very smart. Eddie Goddard used to say he's dumb as a post. Pete talking about somebody not being very smart. But really, what he's talking about is a messenger. Do you remember in the Bible there are several occasions where there's a runner that goes to deliver a message? They come running to King David to tell him this. A runner does this, that, the other. That's who it is. It's like a postman, you know, mail people who deliver the mail. They used to have runners, and they'd pick the very fastest, the swiftest they had, and they would fly. I mean, they would go from point A to point B in no time delivering that. And he said, my days are going as fast as that, as fast as a postman, fastest runner you could ever imagine. They're going by like that. And he says, they flee away. They see no good. He said, in the other passage, he said, I have no hope. And he said, all these days, he said, I don't see anything good. And verse 26, and they pass away as swift as ships, as the eagle that hasted to the prey. He says, boy, my days are going like a ship that's caught a real strong wind and flying across the ocean, or even as an eagle that's coming down to attack a prey. How swiftly they could travel. Oh, that's how he's saying, my days are going like that. Just seems like time's just flying. It's just going by in such an awful, awful hurry. And it's almost gone. Look over in Isaiah chapter 40. And let me just share another little passage of scripture, a companion passage to those thoughts. In Isaiah chapter 40, I look at verse number 6. And he said, and the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And here's what he said, all flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Watch. but the word of our God shall stand forever. What a contrast. What a contrast to Job's morbid thought, no hope, no good. And then it said this, in the writer in Isaiah, the prophecy was this, the flowers fade, the grass turns, but the word of God will stand forever. Thank the Lord for that. What about time? We're coming down near the end of the year, and for all of us, listen, it's been a good year in some respect, been a sad year in a lot of respects, but what about time? I have people to, things that just catch my attention. There's a fellow on the radio that has a little radio program, religious radio program, and it's called A Minute for God. Now, I'm sure he's got a burden. I'm sure he wants to do something good. But somehow or another, it just hits me wrong every time I hear that. We're going to give God a minute. Quite often when I call people, I say, have you got a minute? Have you got a little bit of time? Are you busy right now? Can you give me some time? Time is flying, it's fleeting. It's getting by in a hurry. But just the, somehow or another, the thought of giving God a minute, it hits me wrong. I don't mean to be critical. I'm just saying that that's the way I felt about it. Giving God 1 minute. 1 minute. What about your time? There's another little commercial on TV that you've seen, and it's a pretty good commercial. It's advertised in one of the department stores or something. But it starts off with this family around the table, and they ask them a blessing. And then they talk about things that money cannot buy. Money can't buy love. Money can't buy happiness. And then it says something like this, money cannot buy time. And it can't. Money cannot buy time. Time is a precious commodity. I mean, it's very precious to all of us. The older you get, the more you realize that time is a precious commodity. There's two or three things you can do with your time. You can waste your time. A lot of people waste time. You could waste it. You can spend your time, but you can't buy it. You can spend it, but you can't buy it. You can spend your time doing something. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, he said you can redeem your time, and then we can invest our time. Now, the thing that makes a difference in my life and your life is what we do with our time. Nobody knows how long we're going to be in this world. We don't know how long we're going to live. But God has allotted us a certain length of time. And He expects us to redeem that time and to utilize that time for His glory. And when we think back over the past year, I wonder, did we invest our time or did we waste our time? Did we redeem our time or did we just spend some time? What do you do with your time? God gives you 7 days a week and you have that time. What do we do with that time? Well, let me just give you this observation of the Apostle Paul, first of all, in regard to the past. Turn in your Bible, if you will, please, and look in the book of Philippians, and Philippians chapter 3, and I want to read to you verse number 13. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, he said, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, I cannot do one thing about what happened last year. The good, thank God for that. The bad, thank God that's over with. We don't have to go through that again. And that's going to be behind us. But Paul said, I am going to leave those things behind. He said, I am going to forget those things which are behind. He's not going to let his past determine his future. He's got his eye on the new year, on the next day, on the upcoming events. And you and I ought to be the same way. Thank God for what he did. Thank God for his blessings. And thank God he carried us through times of sickness and sorrow and all those other times. But those things are gone now. And we're going to leave those behind us. And now we're going to look forward and we're going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. We're going to look ahead. We're going to do something profitable with our time. Look over in the book of 2 Timothy, if you will, please, and listen to his testimony. I read this quite often, others do, at a time of a funeral. But why do we wait till then? It's good to apply it to us right now. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I call your attention to verse number 6. Paul is awaiting his execution. And he writes to young Timothy, and here's what he said. I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I know I have an impending death, but I also know that's not going to be the end for me. I'm leaving, I'm departing, I'm going somewhere. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul said, I have invested my time. I have been faithful to God, to his commands. I have fought. Brother Gary reminded us that you're in a battle as a Christian, whether you want to be or not. You're in a spiritual warfare all the time. The devil's constantly trying to rob you of your joy, of your victory and your power. He's trying to keep you from prayer. He's trying to keep you from this book. He'll do anything he can to keep you away from it. But my dear friend, Paul has invested his time. And as he thinks back over his life, he said, I've fought a good fight. He said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've done exactly what God wanted me to do. He has redeemed the time. He has invested the time that God had allotted him, that God gave him. Now, the question I have for all of us this morning, how will we invest our time? How will we redeem our time? Well, let me just say from a very practical standpoint, everybody in here who's of working age, you know that you have to go to work. And you say, well, I wish I could do something spiritual with my time. We kind of divide, even Christians divide our time into secular and spiritual. But for the child of God, 24/7, every day of the week, is a day of spiritual closeness to God. He said, whatsoever your hand find to do, do it with all your might, and whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. He said, your daily routine of work is a spiritual thing for you. The Bible said, if any man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. You're obeying God's command in providing for your family, men and women. And that's a godly experience. That's not an anti-Christian thing. That's not just a secular thing. The daytime you go to work, the way you do your job, the way you do your whatever you do is a testimony of God's grace in your life. You do it heartily as unto the Lord. The way you work your job, the way you carry yourself, your honesty, and your concern for others, that all is part of your life and ministry. That is an investment in your life. You don't say, I got this many hours to work and this many hours to serve God. Your work hours are serving God. That is an investment. You have to do that. And God has that laid out for you. You're providing for your family. But he has you to do that in certain ways. First of all, as you serve him, the Bible said you entered his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Serve him with gladness. Serve him with gladness. So if work, believe it or not, is part of God's plan for your life, you ought to do it joyfully. You ought to enter into it praising God for it, thanking God every day that you've got a job, and asking God to use you that way. The Bible said, and we quote it often, but in the Word of God, Psalms 118, verse 24. You might want to write that down and remember it through the year. Psalm 118, verse number 24. The Bible said, this is the day the Lord's made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so when you spend your time rejoicing and being glad, you're investing your time. Every time, every hour you spend murmuring and complaining is wasteful. I've been reading and just kind of writing out my own little commentary on the book of 1 Corinthians. And Brother Sammy said, I read a verse there the other day, and he said he'd just been reading the same passage. But I came to that passage where Paul talks about the foundation. And he said, he's laid this foundation. He said, other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then he says, but you have to be careful how you build on the foundation. And he said, some will build with gold, silver, precious stones. Some will build with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, in the context, all the years I've read through that, I've always thought, you know, he's referring to preachers who are following him in the ministry, of those preachers who will come along in the cities where he's evangelized and won people to Christ. He's talking primarily about them, or talking about them exclusively, is what I always thought. But when I went back and read through it again, I understand that's not the case altogether. He said, you're God's husbandry. You're God's building, you personally. And he said, I have preached the gospel to you, and you're on a firm foundation personally. And that firm foundation you're sitting on is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now let every man take heed how he builds on the foundation. So it's not, he's not just referring to preachers who come along behind him preaching to the church, the gathering of people. But he's talking about how I believe individuals build their own spiritual life on the foundation of Christ. You can have in your life gold, silver, precious stones, or you can try to build your life with wood, hay, and stubble. I tell the babies the three pig story. How many of you know the three pig story? You remember that? One built his house out of straw. One built his house out of sticks. Then one built his house out of rocks or stones, even how you'd say it. And the wolf came by, big bad wolf came by. And he blew on that house out of straw. He said, you know, the story, knock, knock, let me in. No, I'm not letting you in by the chin, my hair, my chinny, chin, chin. He said, well, I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. He said, you go ahead. And sure enough, he did. And the little piggy runs down to the house with a bit out of sticks. Same story. Wolf comes, I'm going to blow your house down. Oh, no, you can't. He blows it down. Then they go to the house of the pig that's built out of stone. Now, here's the thing I'm trying to show you. You have a time allotted in this 2018, this coming year, to build on your spiritual foundation. And God's going to hold you accountable personally. He said, let every man take heed how he build. And he said, one of these days, the fire will fall. And when the fire falls, he's going to test it of what sort it is. You can invest in your spiritual life this coming year, time. The time you spend rejoicing and praising and worshiping God is gold, silver, precious stone. The time you spend complaining, murmuring, angry, all those things, wood, hay, stubble. It all burn up. You and I have to add to that. So we spend our time. How are we going to use our time? We're going to invest our time. In every day of our life, this is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2, he said, rejoice in your salvation. Every day of your life, you ought to thank God for salvation. Psalms 9 verse 14, you ought to rejoice in his word. Thank God every day for his word. And spend some time in it. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Psalm 68, verse 3. Thank Him for all of His good works. Remember to praise Him every day for all He's done for us and for taking good care of you. If you work in Raleigh and you get to your job and you've not wrecked or been run over, you ought to thank God when you get out of the car, when you get in the parking lot. I thank God every time I have to go to the hospital early in the morning. I thank God that I don't have to go there every day. And if all of you choose to be well and not ever go to Raleigh this year, thank God for you. I love you. Amen. I'd just soon not go that way, but I do, and I will. I'd be glad to go. But listen, you and I, we have an opportunity to invest our time in this coming year, in our own personal spiritual growth. We're to rejoice in Him. Now, further, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You know the verse, and you can write it down and recall it. In this passage of Scripture, he said, in all your ways you acknowledge Him. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. And so we invest our time when we seek His direction, wasting time. My wife, here of late especially, I choose to take wrong turns a lot. Or either forget where I was supposed to turn at. And I go way off out of somewhere, but I usually get back to where I'm supposed to be. And she said, we're just wasting time. And really, she's right. I'm admitting it here in front of all of you. And she, She's usually right about that. It's wasting time. How many of us in our life have been doing that all of our life spiritually? I mean, we've been going way out of the way, taking detour. We usually end up back on the right path, but we go way out of China, way out there, or we try this or try that. But he said we'll invest our time if we'll spend time seeking his direction. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. And it's always a direct path. It's always a straight path. It's always a correct path if you'll just do that. If you'll do that with all of your heart this year, you'll invest your time for the glory of God. Listen, I think about our Lord as I was thinking about these thoughts this morning. I thought, hey, what about him? How did he invest his time? He was just here in this world for just about 33 years. If we had men, young men in this church that died that young, we'd all think about how young they were. I know of people who've died and they were 50 years old. To me, that was young. And some in their 60s, young. But Jesus died. He's just 33 years old. How did he invest his time? Well, let's think about the time of his ministry, which was just about 3 years. How did he invest his time? I wrote down two or three things. Number one, he spent a good bit of time in communion with the Father. He prayed a lot. He spent a lot. He'd go out and pray all night long. That's invested time. It's never wasted time when you keep God's appointment. When you spend time in prayer, when you spend time in this book, that's not wasted time. Sometimes, and I'm the world's worst. I know none of you like this. When I sit down to read the Bible or to pray, my mind's going 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking about people I need to visit, phone calls I need to make, things I need to do. You know, world's dying and going to hell. And here I am sitting down trying to read my Bible. It's a discipline. It's hard to do because this is not wasted time. This is invested time. The time you spend in this book, the time you spend with the Father, just fellowshipping with him, our theme and our thought for the coming year, closer to him, more like him. I'm reminded of what they said about those disciples. It said when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. The time you spend with Jesus, the time you spend with the Father in prayer and in this Word of God will make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. The second thing I noticed about him, he spent a large portion of his time ministering to the needs of others. Sometimes it was feeding, sometimes it was healing, sometimes even resurrecting. But he spent a lot of his time focused on others. He said, I didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom. And you invest your time when you minister and try to help others. That's investing time. Investing time. Investing that time in others' lives, loving them, praying for them. I'm always blessed, Brother Tom Jackson, ever since they've been at this church. He has gone to the nursing home. And then Brother Perry, Terry, when they got saved, God put in their heart, they go to the nursing home. And that's a tremendous ministry, going and ministering to folk in the nursing home. That is investing time, redeeming the time, investing. The Lord Jesus Christ spent a large portion of his ministry, ministering to others. The third thing I noticed was he spent a large portion of his time teaching his disciples. And so when you minister the Word of God to individuals and to your own family, that's investing time. You're redeeming the time, using the time wisely. And then lastly, I noticed this. Our Lord did spend time resting. He spent time resting. He'd take off. He told his disciples, come apart and rest a while. Sure, the crowds followed him and they hounded him everywhere he went. But he saw it was important. Do you remember what he said about the Sabbath? God gave 7 days to the nation of Israel. He said, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day. That's a day of rest. Our Lord, when he came on the scene, he said that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. God said 7 days, 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. You need rest. And so it's nothing wrong with taking rest. Nothing wrong with spending some time relaxing. Nothing wrong with you spending your time with your family on trips or whatever. Nothing wrong with spending time fishing or walking in the mall. That's not very restful. But if you want to do that, go ahead. Have at it. There's nothing wrong with that. God allowed us that. He said He gave us all things freely to enjoy. But our Lord, listen, there's the communion with the Father, there's ministry to the other, there's the teaching of the disciples, and then there's rest. Rest. You need that Sabbath rest. You need a time to relax and time to rest. How you invest your time counts. Why is that? Because if time is allotted, it's a gift from God, and we return that gift to Him just like we do financial. The Bible says that there's coming a time that we'll have to stand before Him at the judgment seat, and we'll have to give an account for the things done in our body, whether they were good or bad. God's going to hold us accountable not only for our financial means, but for our time. How do we spend our time? I got to thinking about this, and like I say, when you get a little older, you get to think about things. If you knew right Monday, let's just start on Monday. If you knew on Monday you had 7 days to live, 7 days only, and during those 7 days you'd have all your mental faculties, you'd have all your physical abilities, and on that last, when the 7 days were up, you'd be dead. What would you do with 7 days? What would you do? You know, they had a movie one time about bucket list. I never did see it. Maybe parts of it, clips or whatever. But I know the premise that it was that these guys made a bucket list, things they wanted to do before they died. What would be on your bucket list if you didn't have but 7 days to live? And then you knew you'd have to face God. What would you do with your time? How would you spend those days? I thought about this. Would you give at least one of those days to go to church? Would you spend at least one day out of seven if you didn't have a seven to live? And one of those days would have to be a Sunday. Would you spend that at the house of God? Would you walk into this building, enter into His gates with thanksgiving? Into His courts with praise? Would you come like that if you didn't have but one other Sunday to come to the house of God? Would you be willing to do that? I talk to people. I'd love to have all of our church family together next Sunday, first Sunday. I've run across some in recent days that have been out for a while. I've heard all kind of reasons, all kind of excuses. But if you knew you didn't ever have but one more Sunday, you only had one more Sunday to live, would you give God at least one day at the house of God? If you didn't have but 7 days to live, would you give your wife and children, your husband and your children, or your mom and dad, would you spend a lot of time with them if you didn't have 7 days to live? Would you be sure that you let mom and dad and grandparents know how much you love them? Would you let your wife, your children, know how much you love them? Would you let your husband and your children know how much you love them? How would you invest your time in regard to your family if you only had 7 days to live? You know what? I don't have any idea how long any of us live. James said this, your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. He said, some of you say today or tomorrow, we're going to such and such a city and we'll do this, that, and the other. He said, you ought to say, if the Lord will. How are you going to invest your time this coming year? Will you invest it spending time with the Father? Invest it in helping ministering to your own family and loving your own family? Will you invest it working honestly and everything your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, and do it all for the glory of God? How are you going to spend your time? But everybody in this building is not saved. Everybody in this building is not going to go to heaven. Everybody in the media audience is not saved. If you're lost and you only had 7 days, what would you do? What would you do? and you knew you had to face a holy God, I can just tell you right now, if you have any sense whatsoever, the first day of the rest of your life, which only seven, you want to make sure you were saved. That'd be wise. If I've only got 7 days, the first day, I'm going to be sure I'm saved. That's why the Bible said that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here this morning, there's no greater time for you to invest than the time trusting Christ as your Savior and get born again by the grace of God. To trust Him and know Him and to live the rest of your days, if it was just 6 more days, you'd want to live them saved. You'd want to know that as the clock ticked and then it was Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and before you left this world, you'd want to know you were saved and that you could live those days knowing that heaven was your home. That'd be a done deal. You wouldn't have to worry about that. You need to make sure today that you're saved. You're saved. If you didn't have but 7 days to live as a saint of God, would you continue on with what's in your mind and heart right now? Would you harbor bitterness and jealousy or lust or wicked thoughts? Or if you knew you had to face God in the next 7 days, would your priority be to confess your sin and be right with Him, be clean with Him, not have anything between your soul and the Savior? I think it would. That's time well invested. Time that you spend getting close to God, repenting and getting clean and living for Him. You say, Brother Beadle, why such an emphasis on time? Well, it's flying. It's going faster than a weaver's shuttle. It's getting by in a hurry. Nobody knows how much time we've got. The Bible says that we ought to be faithful. We ought to labor, for the night cometh when no man can work. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it says this, and tonight we'll read the book of Revelation. Somebody's going to read chapter 10. But in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it says, and He declared that time should be no more. There's coming a time when time's not going to be there anymore. You can invest your time in things that God has for you in your plan, and you'll be glad that you did. To be right with those times is the best way. Number one, you need to know you're saved. Number two, if you're a Christian, you need to know that you're clean. Closer to Him, more like Him in 2018. What about your time? What about your time? Are you going to invest it wisely? Are you going to do it for the glory of God? Are you going to be mindful that time is a great gift that God's given to you? I don't know how many times in 50 years of pastoring I've been with families. Some individuals, themselves, other family members, when they were diagnosed with a terminal disease, first question pops up, how much time do they have left? How much time do I have left? Every doctor that's honest will tell you this, I don't know. I can kind of give you a ballpark figure, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, most a year. That's the way most of them do it, because nobody really knows how long, except for one person, that's the Lord. He's allotted you a certain amount of time. He's going to hold you accountable for it. Let's give it to Him. Closer to Him, more like Him in 2018. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for Your presence today. And our Father, truly, we can say, as Job said and as Paul said and others said, our Father, our days, our time is swiftly passing. It's getting gone in a hurry. Our Father, we think of Your dear servant, Jim Elliot, who gave his life there in the jungles trying to minister to the Unca Indians. And Father, I think of that great statement that's motivated so many others to love You and serve You. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that'd be our prayer as we come to the end of this year. Our Father, we can't go back and change anything. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for letting us serve you, and Lord, for those great victories and souls that were saved, and Lord, for the Word of God distributed through the CDs, thousands and thousands of tracts, for all the prayers that were offered, for all the time that God's people, Lord, invested in getting the gospel out. We do pray, our Father, and we know in our heart that no witness is ever wasted. For the many who came to help with the highway shepherd on last Saturday, and Lord, for the 1,134 bags that were given out, God, for the responses we've already gotten. But we know, our Father, there's over 1,000 people that have been touched with the kindness of this church and this people. And God, I thank you for the power of the gospel that God's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon you. Thank you, our Father, for the young lady who called me this week and said that she really needed the Highway Shepherd CDs a few years ago, and that she got her life right, she's gotten saved, and she's in a great church now. Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for those who've prayed and those who've given, those who helped. And Lord, through the ministries of this church, the softball ministry, Lord, through the ministry of the choir and our young people ministry, through the drama ministry and the men who came to Judgment House, and Lord, through the eyes of Peter, and Lord, through revivals and camp meeting, God, we thank you for lives that were touched and changed and folk who got saved and God's people got help. Lord, we don't mind a bit in the world investing our time, which really is your time. And God, I pray you'd help us to be conscious of the fact that we have a day to live. We have time to give. And Lord, we pray you'd help us to invest it. This is the day the Lord's made, and we rejoice and be glad in it.